Spiritual growth always begins with a healthy root system. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell continues in his series on becoming rooted and grounded in Christ.
The supply of our faith is the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we come to the end of ourselves, he says, I've got what you need. And I want you to understand something today. God is not attracted to our strengths. He's attracted to our weakness. He's looking for people who know that we're not much and that he's everything.
We live in a shallow and uprooted society, but as Christians, we can be firmly rooted in our relationship with Christ. In our series, Rooted for Growth, we will discover the nutrients we need to remain spiritually strong. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you don't have a healthy spiritual root system, then every part of your life is impacted negatively. Through today's scriptures, we will explore what it means to be a rooted Christian who is growing in the likeness of Jesus Christ. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part one of a message called A Rooted Faith.
Well, very few men in the Bible understood the challenges of ministry and the Christian life like the Apostle Paul did. If you've ever taken time to read the Pauline epistles or the book of Acts, you begin to realize the sacrifices he made in spreading the gospel message. He was a man that was beaten with rods. He was a man that was thrown into prison and on one occasion stoned and left out the city for dead. And he was a man that was snake bitten and shipwrecked. And I mean, the list goes on and on. And even as he wrote the book of Philippians, he was writing this book from the Roman guard there in Rome. And he had the Praetorian guard, actually, a man would have been chained to him. And he was there writing this prison epistle in a very difficult situation. Now, Paul, like all of us, could have kind of wallowed in pity. He could have found himself feeling sorry for himself and complaining. But I think the reason we're attracted to the book of Philippians is because that even though he had all of these issues that he was facing, still the theme of the book is joy. He had something that we all want and need, and that was the joy of the Lord. And it was because he had a faith in the Lord that was so strong. And we see that in the midst of all of this adversity, he writes, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. He had what Hebrews 11:1 defines in the substance of faith. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And because of his faith, he was the recipient of a strength, a recipient of a help that only came from the Lord. Now in these verses, and specifically verse 13, we're going to learn and we're going to see a parallel to Galatians 2 and verse 20. So look in your notes at Galatians 2:20, which we studied a few weeks ago. And remember it says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. And we learned that being crucified with Christ speaks of our position. It speaks of who we are in Christ. The old life is dead and we're alive to the new life. And Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. All right, let's say that phrase together, but Christ liveth in me. But Christ liveth in me. So on the one hand, he says, I can do all things through Christ. Why, Paul? Because Christ lives in me, right? And so what I'm about to preach to you today is only possible if you're a born-again believer. If Jesus is in you, then you can claim this verse, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And what a great thing to know that Jesus is living within you, and what a great thing to know that he enables us to live the Christian life. I don't know about you. I don't want to see what I can do this week. I want to see what the Lord can do through me this week. I want the Lord to help and guide and lead and empower me this week. And so that's going to happen as I, by faith, am rooted in Christ and as I'm walking in faith. And so let's learn about faith this morning. And the first thing I want you to see is the spirit of our faith, the spirit of faith. And as you look at this very simple verse, I want you to notice the first two words say, I can. And I want you to realize that the spirit of our faith must be a personal faith. It must be personal. Now, I'm not speaking about the power of positive thinking. We'll see in just a moment where the strength comes from. But I do want you to see that very first word, I. And I want you to recognize that we are not here today to talk about simply the great faith that John R. Rice had, or the great faith that Abraham had, or the great faith that Moses had. We're here today to say that all of us need to have this type of faith. All of us need to have a present-day faith in the Lord, a personal faith. 1 Corinthians 15:57 is still in the Bible. As Paul wrote nearly 2,000 years ago, he said, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." And every great man or woman of God who was greatly used of God personalized this matter of faith. They believed that God was able in their lives to do something great. It was David who said, "Is there not a cause?" And he believed that though he was a shepherd boy, though he was the youngest, and though he was despised of Eliab, his older brother, he believed that God could still use him. And it was Daniel who simply said, "My God is able to deliver me." And you see, as these men personalized their faith and put faith in God for their moment and their generation, they were blessed of the Lord. And so we need to personalize our faith this morning. But not only was it a personal faith, but notice as Paul wrote this epistle under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, it was a very positive faith. It was a positive faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And so notice he says in verse 13, I can do all things through Christ. Now, sometimes we feel like we can't. Maybe you have some things this week and you say, "I just don't know how that's going to get done." And that's okay, because sometimes that's where God brings us to show us how powerful he is. And Paul was not saying, "I'm going to do this by myself." We'll see that in a moment. But his spirit was right. His spirit was personal. His spirit was positive. I can. And many times we face situations we're not sure how. I understand that. I heard about a guy that was in the police academy, and he was being asked a lot of questions by his drill instructor. And one of the questions was, "What would you do if you had to arrest your own mother?" And the guy said, "I'd call for backup." That's a good answer. You know, he knew he couldn't handle that on his own. He could not do that. Well, for those of us who've studied out the Christian life, we know that our backup, the one that we really need to be calling upon every day, not in the backup position, but abiding with and walking with, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And sometimes, for whatever reason, our thinking gets really skewed. And we in this day and age, begin to focus on what we can't do. I could never win someone to Christ. I could never help someone spiritually. I can't keep up this choir work or working in the bus ministry. And I can't raise a teenager. And pretty soon, we get into that spirit that is the exact opposite of faith. And I want you to notice in your notes, there's our thinking sometimes. And see if you find yourself in this little analogy versus what God's Word says, you see. You see, we say, "It's impossible." God says, "All things are possible with me." We say, "Well, I can't do it." God says, "You can do all things through me." We say, "Well, I'm just too tired." And God says, "Come unto me and I will give you rest." And we say, "Well, I'm a little worried about that." And God says, "Well, cast all your cares upon me." And sometimes we say, "Well, I can't go on." And God says, "But my grace is sufficient for you." Sometimes we say, "Well, I can't figure it out." God says, "I'll direct your path." Sometimes we say, "I'm not able." And God says, "I am able." And sometimes we say, "It's not worth it." And God says, "But it will be worth it." Sometimes we say, "I just can't manage this." And yet God says, "I'll supply all of your needs according to my riches and glory by Christ Jesus." Sometimes we say, "But I'm afraid." And then God says, "But I have not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." And sometimes we say, "But I don't have enough faith." And God says, "No, I've given to everyone a measure of faith." And sometimes we say, "I'm not smart enough." And our wives say, "That's for sure." And God says, but I have wisdom that I can give to you." Sometimes we say, "But I feel all alone in this situation." And God says, "But I will never leave you nor forsake you." And I'm simply telling you that over the course of 7 days of television and 7 days of the guy at work next to you cussing you out and 7 days of problems with all the different things we face, we can get into that mindset where we say, "I can't do it." You know what? We can't, but we can through Christ who strengtheneth us. You know what coming to church is on Sunday? Sometimes it's just getting back to biblical thinking. Getting back to biblical thinking. We can walk into this place this morning saying, I can't, I can't, I can't. And we ought to walk out saying, with God's help, I think I can. With God's help, I think I can go on another day. Now, please understand, Paul is not speaking about the power of positive thinking. When he says, I can do all things through Christ, he's speaking about a divine enablement. He's speaking about what we sometimes call an endowment of power or an anointing of God upon his life. He's not speaking about a habit that was developed through frequent exercise of positive recitation. He's not speaking about some habit that he developed by somehow exercising and doing the same things over and over. It wasn't about himself working himself up into this. It was about the Lord working through him. You see, God's strength and God's peace is not found in the absence of trouble, but it is found in the presence of himself. And when we can come to that place of trusting in him, then we begin to learn that with him all things are possible. So the spirit of our faith needs to be a spirit of faith that is personal. It's not just what pastor saw happen in his life or someone else saw happen, but it's me personally, and it's positive. I can. But notice not only the spirit of our faith this morning, let's notice the scope of our faith this morning. And let's look at this little verse today, because I want you to have something to hang your spiritual hat on this week, all right? Look at this verse with me. It says, I can do all things. Now, look at that verse. I can do all things. Now, in case there's a teenager with an imaginative mind this morning, we're not talking about jumping off the Empire State Building and flying, all right? God's not going to help you to defy gravity. But when he says, I can do all things, he's speaking of every circumstance that is allowed into his life, every situation that he faces, every opportunity to serve the Lord is going to enable him through those situations. And all of you have things put into your life's path that you weren't expecting, trials and difficulties. Those are the all things. And the Bible says, I can do all things. In Mark 10, 27, Jesus looking upon them saith, with men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible. You see? And the fact of the matter is, a lot of you right now in your life, you've got a burden there in your hands, and somehow it needs to get up there, and you've got to get it done. And you're looking at this next week, and you're going, I can't do this. I can't do this. There are some things we can't do, but how many of you are thankful there is a heavenly Father who lifted up the rest of the way? You see, I can do all things. Dr. Tom Malone often said, when God is going to do something wonderful, he starts with the difficult. But when God is going to do something miraculous, he starts with the impossible. And God specializes in the impossible, the things that we don't understand how they're going to happen. George Mueller said, faith does not operate in the realm of the possible. There is no glory for God in that which is humanly possible. Faith begins where man's power ends. So if you're facing something that you say, I don't know how this is going to happen, I've got some stuff this week, and I've got some transitions in my life this week, and I've got some things that I've got to face that I don't know how I can accomplish this, I want you to know something. With God, all things are possible. Now, what do we mean by the scope of all things? Let me give you three very quickly. First of all, we can abound in difficulty. We can abound in difficulty. Now look at verse 10 with me for a moment, and let's get the context a little further. Paul says, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again. Now look right here. This tells us that the church at Philippi had been caring for the Apostle Paul while he was in Rome. They were a missionary giving church. On the envelope that I put in the offering a moment ago, a portion of my giving today was for our missionary support. And Paul was a missionary who had been receiving support. And he says to the church at Philippi, your care has been flourishing for me. It's been wonderful. But notice he says also in verse 11, he says, now it's not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Now, Paul had learned how to abound over the burdens. In other words, there were days when that support wasn't coming in, and he had learned even then to abound. There are days when things are fine and all the bills are paid, and that's when most Baptists are happy, when things are going good. But what about when all the bills aren't getting paid, and what about when the kids aren't behaving, and what about when things are not going as well? Well, it is then that we claim Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And Paul says something very important here in verse number 11. Notice he says, in whatsoever state I have learned therewith to be content, to be content. Now think about that. He's in prison. He's got a Roman soldier attached to him. His support is infrequent. His friends come periodically. But in the midst of that, he says, I'm content with this. I'll be okay with this. And let me say to you this morning that contentment is preeminently a Christian grace. When someone can be content in those kinds of circumstances, how many of you would agree with me? That's the Holy Spirit strengthening him. It's the Holy Spirit of God helping him. And when we have those circumstances and yet we have contentment, we know that someone has the grace of God. F.B. Meyer was writing on this passage, and he wrote something that helped me to understand contentment. This is what he said. Where shall we find contentment? Where barns are full of grain and where sheds are full of cattle, where mansions overlook miles of parkland, where the feet sink ankle deep in the rich piles of carpet, where upholsterers have done their utmost to furnish the rooms with various elegance, where the murmur of the outer world hardly enters and where distracting care has no twig of which to perch. Not there. When human life is surrounded by every comfort and luxury, it is very often fullest of complaining and discontent. If we would find contentment, let us go to the homes where women are crippled with rheumatism or dying of cancer, where comforts are few, where long hours of loneliness are not broken by the intrusion of friendly faces, where the pittance of public charity hardly suffices for the necessary need to say anything of comfort. It is there that contentment reveals itself like a flower. How often in the homes of the wealthy one misses it. How often in the homes of the healthy, where there is buoyant health and wonderful surroundings, yet we cannot find contentment. So it was with the apostle, who was in the saddest part of his career, bound to the Roman soldier, enclosed in some narrow apartment, in touch with only a few friends, away from the happy scenes of earlier years, anticipating judgment at Nero's bar. He breaks out into the glorious expressions of rejoicing. He had learned how to be abased in the valley of the shadow. He had learned how to be content. And I've learned that many times, those that I visit with the best things and the most things often are the most dissatisfied. And sometimes those who've had the difficult hours and have little in this life, there's a joy and a smile on their face, and that is the presence of God in their life. Don't you remember the Apostle Paul in Acts 16? The Bible tells us he's thrown into the Philippian jail, and they thrust him into the inner prison. And Acts 16, 25 says, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises to God, and the prisoners heard them. Oh, listen, my friends, we need to understand that in Christ, we can abound in the difficult times. Sometimes you can learn a lot from people who paid a price, people like Tyndale, who gave his life to give us the Bible, and people like John Huss, who burned at the stake because he believed in salvation through Jesus only, and some of the British reformers who were burned at the stake by Queen Mary. And I have the privilege of spending a little time at Cambridge and learning there about a man that I had read his books but never studied his life, and Charles Simeon was a man saved in Cambridge at It's 1779 as a student in the college. After he got saved and finished his education, he became a deacon at the church. And then he was asked, because of his fervor, he was asked by some of the elders to be the pastor of this church. And he was asked to be the pastor of the Trinity Church, Holy Trinity Church there. It was a church, of course, years prior had been Catholic, and now the Church of England had come into place, and there was some fires of evangelicalism beginning to burn. And this man, Simeon, began to preach. The problem was that in those days, it was the wealthy people that owned the pews, literally, or rented the pews. Even North Church in Boston and some of the early churches in America had that system. And these wealthy people didn't like Simeon. And so what they did, they padlocked the pews so no one would come to church. So when that happened, he put chairs in the middle of this large auditorium, and he began to preach there. And they would come early, and they would throw the chairs out in the lawn. And they did everything they could for several years to get rid of Simeon. Whenever he would lead people to Christ, they would call them Simeonites or Sims in derision. They used that term. He began to teach those Anglicans that communion was not a way of salvation. It was not for transubstantiation, but that the cup and the bread was for the remembrance of Jesus Christ. And he was viewed as being radical for that teaching. But he kept preaching and he kept teaching. And that church became a center for evangelism under the 54-year ministry of Charles Simeon, because he was a man who would not quit in the face of adversity. He was content to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And from that church, many went to India, Henry Martin and many others as missionaries. And from that church, 2,536 books and booklets with the gospel were published. And from that church was established the Church Missionary Society with a special outreach to Jews and Jewish evangelism. And God used this man in a marvelous, marvelous way. His books are still read to this very day. Now, all that's left of Charles Simeon is a little piece of concrete I found over his burial place in the back of Holy Trinity Church. 1836, he was buried there. The average tourist walking through Cambridge doesn't even know the man existed. They don't know that for 54 years he preached the gospel faithfully. They don't know that he helped people understand how to rightly divide the word of truth and sent missionaries all over his part of the world and down to India and even into Africa. But I want to tell you that there's a God in heaven who sustained him, and there's a God in heaven who knows that he was faithful and who welcomed him with those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." You may have some big obstacle today, someone throwing your chairs around, someone trying to get rid of you. And I want you to know that while it may seem as though nobody here on this earth knows, there is a God in heaven who will help you to abound over your burdens and is keeping the record of your faithfulness. Paul abounded over his burdens, and Paul abounded over his affliction. He said in verse 12, "I know how to be abased and I know how to abound." He was a man that was able to take the pressure and find that God would sustain him. You know, in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 8, he said, "We are troubled on every side and yet not distressed. We are perplexed but not in despair, persecuted but not forsaken, cast down but not destroyed, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body." I think most of us know that if we're going to be Christians, I mean, really live for the Lord, I mean, live for God and be a witness for God and stand up for what is right, if we're going to live for Jesus Christ in this day, there will be some difficult times. All those that are godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia said several years ago, "Devout Christians are destined to be regarded as fools in modern society." Fools. And if you're a pleasure-loving person and you want to be popular, then friend, you're not going to enjoy the Christian life every day if it's got to always be free of difficulty, because the Bible is clear that difficulty will come to the life of a true believer. The Liberty Institute issued a publication about the tremendous antagonism towards Christians that's on the rise in America today. It seems that in this era of tolerance, it's okay, and we're supposed to tolerate every perverted lifestyle, and we're supposed to tolerate every Eastern religion, but no one really wants to tolerate that scripture where we're taught that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And if you intend to be someone who believes that Jesus is the way to heaven, there's not going to be a lot of tolerance for you, my friend. There's going to be some difficulty, and it might be discouraging, but Paul said, "You know what? I've learned how to love God in the good times, and in the bad times, I've been able to love God and be faithful." And I say to you this morning, we can abound for the Lord Jesus Christ. We can do all things for the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't have to go AWOL. You don't have to quit. You can be faithful through the endowment of power from the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me say, secondly, we can witness for the Lord Jesus Christ.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. As a companion to today's series, we are offering Dr. Chappell's newest resource entitled Continue, A Biblical Journey in Personal Discipleship. It's yours when you make a donation to this broadcast ministry. Continue is perfect for helping someone you love become rooted and grounded in God's Word. Each lesson includes a straightforward outline with support scriptures and is written so anyone can easily teach. Call us at 1-800-68-TODAY or go to dailyintheword.org to request this resource for yourself or a loved one. That's 800-688-6329 or dailyintheword.org. Thanks in advance for your support.
So many people request copies of Pastor Chapel's messages every day for their personal use and to share with their friends. That is why we have posted them on our church website, preaching.lancasterbaptist.org. This collection of messages is sure to be a powerful source of inspiration for you, a family member, or a loved one. Log on today to watch or listen.
We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chapel has served as the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church for nearly 30 years, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chapel's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message. Connect with us and sign up for Pastor Chapel's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at dailyintheword.org. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.